Yeah, that's it's pretty cool though, that you kept that optimism in spite of the beatdown. I wonder where that came from.
I don't know.
Just kind of like natural disposition, maybe.
I'm the type of person that doesn't want to give up at any point, so it's just like, all right, so we got our asses kicked last game. Let's improve upon it. I don't know.
Yeah, can't happen twice.
Even halftime when we're down 30-0 or whatever, I'm still in the locker room. All right, let's go out there. Let's make this look a little better. See if we can't stop them a couple times, you know? Let's build on this.
It's a game with two halves. Mm-hmm. I remember one time in high school, our team was so bad. And they were like 0-8 at one point, or maybe 0-9. But they won a game to either go to 1-8 or 1-9, and we all rushed the field.
1-8. 1-8.
We were feeling it.
What else you going to do? It's better than most of the other things you could be doing in high school on a Friday night.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we're 16, 17-year-olds. Like, we're going to act like idiots. Do you want to confined safe space, or do you want us out in,
out in public.
Lower Falls? Yeah, where we're about to go. All right, dude. I already hit record. I don't mind.
I don't mind.
What song is that from where it's like, I don't mind?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I don't mind.
Maybe it'll come to me after.
Hopefully, because I hate it when I'm trying to think of something and I just can't. Man, I'll go crazy. You should see my Google search history. It's things like like pieces of lyrics and like...
Yeah.
I'll try to type out the way I feel the rhythm sounds sometimes. Like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Like, okay, what song is that?
Surely somebody else has asked this. No.
It's true, man.
Yeah, I just typed I Don't Mind, and I got the Usher song, and I was like, nah, that's not it.
Usher.
Yeah, so I was thinking, this is kind of a little tease for this week's episode, what band or artist do you think you've listened to the most?
Like, listened to in my whole life, from birth to death?
Yeah.
At this point, I would probably say Metallica.
Okay. Ooh, nice.
But there's got to be something, like, okay, probably... Black Sabbath is probably up there too. Okay. Like, I used to listen to a lot of Black Sabbath. I don't know. That's a tough question. How about you? I don't know. I think Metallica is probably close to the right answer. But what's your
answer? It might be New Order, but I'm not 100% positive. Yeah, that one's tough. Like, at one point, it probably could have been Zeppelin.
That was another one I was thinking about too. Because they're one of the more consistent. Like, I'll listen to them when I'm 15, I'll listen to them when I'm 25, and I'll listen to them when I'm 35. So that might be another one that's probably up there.
Yeah, I really don't know. I didn't even think about this when I asked. Probably New Order, though. Yeah, that'd be my guess. All right, I'm going to roll into this intro, and I can't remember the exact tune, so I'm just going to do it poetically.
I like it.
Well, these episode 40 blues, we've walked holes in both our shoes. Count of the days since we've been gone, and we'd love to see the lights of home. Wasted time and money too, squandered youth in search of truth, but in the end we had to lose. Lord above, we've paid our dues. Got the episode 40 blues. Hello everyone, welcome to episode 40 of Jay and Joey on the Record. I'm Joey.
I'm Jay.
That was Ricky Skaggs, Highway 40 Blues.
There we go.
This
is very nice.
That dude has been around forever, by the way. Like, I didn't really realize until doing this podcast. He appeared on something from the early 70s. I was like, dang, Ricky.
Of where I've seen him.
I know. Yeah, it's going to drive me nuts. It has to be something with, like, the like those West Coast, like, California sound type bands. It might have been Linda Ronstadt, actually, now that I think about it. But, yeah, this is kind of a special episode in quite a few ways.
Very special. I can think of one way. What else do you got? Do you have other ways other than the one way?
Well, I was thinking of a couple ways, but this is also the last of its kind. Yeah, so what are
That's
we doing?
That's true. What do you mean last of its kind? Because we don't have any more. Okay, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're doing all one band. Sorry, I derailed us for a second. We're doing all of the sights and sounds from one band.
Yeah, man. So that's the first special way. Yeah, this is the last all one artist episode we have planned. A little sad, but on an interesting note, this is the first time we have listened to only 5 albums since episode 10. which was our All Rush episode.
I was trying to think of what our other all one band weeks were, so that's one, Rush.
Mastodon, the Sword.
Mastodon, the Sword. Okay, yeah. And we had six of these, but we used one earlier in the podcast for our numbers episode, so then we only had five. So. Yeah.
It's kind of good, though. It was a short week to listen.
It was super short. Every album was 34 minutes or less. Wonderful.
Dude, so clutch. Also, very fitting topic this week, which is, it was decided on long ago before he made this announcement, but David Lee Roth is hanging his shoes up.
Whatever that means.
As one does when they retire.
Wasn't the actual quote, throwing in the shoes? I'm throwing in the shoes.
Yeah, that's what it is.
What does that mean, dude?
I was like, was David Lee Roth known for his shoes? I don't think so. And crazy enough, it also aligns incredibly closely with the one-year anniversary of Eddie Van Halen's death.
Yeah, so, that's last week.
Yeah.
What an episode this is going to be then.
So let's just dive into it.
We're talking about Van Halen. I know we talked a little bit when we did 5150, which is a later Van Halen album. So you weren't like super Van Halen fan at all. But I do remember you enjoying 5150, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I thought it was fine. It's very interesting to hear that and then jump back into the early catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, for sure.
And kind of understand that whole conversation that's happened between like Van Halen and Van Hagar better from just not a singles perspective.
Oh, yeah, totally. They're chock full of singles. Like all the albums are chock full of singles, but it is very, very interesting to listen to them as a whole because there's a lot of elements that don't come through in the singles because they're doing things that maybe wouldn't have been as popular, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like the lesser known tracks.
Yeah. So, some stuff is pretty dang interesting and unique and experimental. And you can tell it's just like Eddie Van Halen really wanted something to be on there in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. As this week progressed, I saw diminishing returns, but I think it started strong.
Yeah. So, and I'm glad we got to start with the beginning, the first album. I'm glad I own that one.
Mm-hmm.
The second album. I mean, the first three from this week are just pretty unstoppable. So let's start with just talking a little bit about Van Halen. Were you aware that they had been around for as long as they had been around?
I didn't realize they popped up in the late 70s. That's for sure.
They formed in 1972, which is
pretty... Oh my God.
Yeah, pretty crazy. So two brothers, Eddie and Alex Van Halen, I believe they are Dutch. And yeah, they are. They're from the Netherlands. Excellent. I was right.
Oh, damn. I didn't realize they were actually from the Netherlands.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
So Eddie, Edward, and Alex Van Halen. Then we've got David Lee Roth, Diamond Dave, on the lead vocals for all of these albums. And you've got Michael Anthony on the bass. So that's the lineup for all the five of the albums we listened to this week.
Did Eddie and Alex, did they seem to get along throughout their career? Because I know there's always like the sibling fight type storylines that people love, but I don't think I've ever heard anything about that.
Yeah, as far as I know, I feel like maybe there was conflict with David Lee Roth a little bit.
Sure.
But I honestly don't know.
They stayed in the band together all the way until the end, so I imagine.
Yeah, they kind of ditched Michael Anthony late in the game in a weird way. I think they kind of like ghosted him or something. I don't know. I didn't really get into the ins and outs of it, but they replaced him with Eddie's son, Wolfgang, on the bass.
Weak. I was hoping you'd say they replaced him with Michael Anthony Hall.
Ooh. Yeah, like 2005, 2006 is when they ditched Michael Anthony.
Dang. That's weak sauce.
Yeah, start in the early 70s and go to 2005 and get kicked to the curb.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe it was his choice. I don't think it was, but maybe it was his choice.
I guess when you're in a band with somebody else's last name, that's kind of the risk you take.
It's a good name, though, honestly. Like, if they had decided to name the band, like, Destroyer or something, they wouldn't have been as good. I think Van Halen is a perfect name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally. Speaking of which, Destroyer, also a really good act.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That was just the first thing that came into my head. Yeah. I was like, a metal band name.
There is something about just like the sharp V. Yeah, that Destroyer. H. Yeah, it would have seemed so generic, like in comparison to all the other Brit stuff or the metal going on at that time.
Yeah. All right. So since we have five, let's kick it off here. The debut album is eponymous. It's Van Halen. It came out on February 10th, 1978 on Warner Brothers Records. It has sold more than 10 million copies in the United States, so it is diamond certified. What did you think of this thing? Did you read any bit about how they were trying to get this thing funded?
No. It's kind of crazy that a band like this, their first release was on Warner Brothers.
It is. So they had a little help. So they were trying to get signed, and Gene Simmons was actually financing what they were doing. So he was giving them a little bit of money, trying to get them signed. Kiss had to go on tour. So he was like, I'll help you a little bit more when I get back. But then some Warner Brothers execs saw them at like the Whiskey A Go-Go and were like, oh, this band kicks ass. Let's sign them. So that's actually how they ended up on Warner Brothers.
Dang. So does Gene Simmons like own the rights to the band? He seems like that kind of guy.
No, I think he was just trying to help out from what I was reading. So no, I think he was actually being pretty chill.
Oh man, the benevolence of Kiss. That's why they're one of the world's greatest rock bands.
Oh Lord.
I didn't realize how many freaking singles came off this.
Dude, it's chock full of them, like I said. And the crazy part about it is, so this was real early. Some of these are songs that were on the demo that they were shopping around. And almost all of them are stuff that they had been performing in like clubs and like bands and clubs and bars and stuff. So okay. It was all stuff they'd really had put together already, which makes the fact that there's a ton of singles on here pretty shocking.
Every time one popped up, I was like, this is from the debut. This is from, and honestly, I think things got thinner. Or albums got thinner with singles and like recognizable songs the later until the last one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yep. But this one kicks off with, I mean, so debut song on a debut album. It's a cool song to kick it off with. Running with the Devil. I've always liked the intro to this thing. It's so simple. There's like a, like a train sounding. And then Michael Anthony hits you with the staccato, just bump, 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 bump. Bump on the bass, and then a slide down the guitar, and Eddie just comes in. Like, it's such a badass intro.
I would have never guessed this is the first song on their first album. It just seems really refined and mature. Just a tight piece for how green they were.
Yeah, it's so badass. Like, it's a great debut song on the debut album, and Eddie's already doing, like, Eddie Van Halen things. So he's like sprinkling in like little harmonic things. And I think there's a point where he strums the top of the neck, like above the nut on the guitar.
Yeah.
Like the little piece of string that goes from the top of the guitar neck to the tuning knobs. I think he runs a pick down that, because it makes almost like a piano key sound.
Yeah, dude. He's virtuosic right out of the gate.
There's so many cool things, and I'll talk about it throughout, but just little things that I really love about Van Halen, like the harmonies, like Eddie Van Halen and Michael Anthony with some really nice harmonies to go along with Dave just doing what Dave does. I mean, this, I'll tell you this, to kick this week off, this song was undoubtedly the loudest I've ever had in my stereo, without a doubt.
Jeez.
No doubt.
I imagine it live was just deafening.
It's so huge. I mean, it's just such a badass song. I love it. It's one of my favorite Van Halen songs. So let's see. A-side's full of singles. Do you want to talk about Eruption at all? I mean, I feel like we have to.
Yeah, it's a really tiny solo. I actually hate the song that it leads into. I hate the version of it. But Eruption is phenomenal. Like, the cool tapping technique. It's such a famous guitar solo. Like, even people who probably think they haven't heard it have heard it. It's just Shred City.
It's got almost like a classical element to it. Like, he's it's extremely cool. The guitar tapping is really cool. We've actually heard some guitar tapping throughout this podcast, but one that came to mind is probably the earliest example that we've heard for sure is Terry Kath on the experimental guitar piece on Chicago 6.
Yeah, that there was that, some like, tapping big on that freak one. Out. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Was it that one or was it the CTA album? There's one that like is really freak
you might be
out.
Right. You might be yeah. right. I think it's Chicago Transit Authority, actually. You are right.
Yeah, because that was the piece where I was like, whew. Oh, dude, that's definitely a debut.
Yeah, getting wild in a debut. I love it. So Eruption leads into You Really Got Me, which is a Kinks cover. This is their first single. I can see why they picked it as a first single, because it is really catchy. I mean, you're playing somebody else's song that's already been successful. How can you not be successful with it?
Yeah.
But I like it. I know you said you didn't really like it, but I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, I just love the Kinks, and I just feel like it's unnecessary. I think it was a gutsy move to release a cover as your first single, because a lot of artists who have done that have just disappeared, because it's like, oh, you don't have anything to bring to the table.
Yeah, but and I can appreciate that, but I also, there's a quote later on in the podcast in this episode that I've written down, so I'll talk about it maybe when we get there, or maybe I'll just try to piece it together now. Eddie basically says, the reason we do, oh, it's their second album. There's a bunch of covers on their second album. And he said, the reason we're doing all these covers is, one, they're great songs and we want to play them. We have fun with them and we want to, you know, keep that kind of vibe going, which I think is worthwhile. I mean, they said, this is a great song and we want to play it. So I can't really hate on them for doing that. I got one more thing on okay. You Really Got Me. Apparently, there was a race between Van Halen and Angel to get a cover of You Really Got Me out. Eddie Van Halen was talking to Angel drummer Barry Brandt about what they were working on. They both mentioned that they were doing a Really Got Me demo, and they kind of raced to get their version out. So that's why it was their first single, because they wanted to get this out before Angel did.
Dang, now I want to hear Angel's.
I don't even know if they released it, but apparently.
Yeah. I wonder if they heard it and were like, well.
Pete, old Diamond Dave, he's such a goof. David Lee Roth, one thing about all these albums is he's kind of a goofball on a lot of them, which, whatever.
Yeah, I feel like he really wanted to be the persona of the band, and it weighs me down after a while.
But let's talk about then Ain't Talking About Love, because that is very, it's a metal tune. Mm-hmm. It's powerful, and there's not David Lee Roth doing clown shit on that song. That one's serious and badass.
Dude, let me tell you, I've always been lukewarm on Van Halen, but I have always loved this track. And you said it exactly, what makes it stand out. It has a lot of new wave of British heavy metal elements to it. It's very serious. I wish there was a lot more Van Halen like this. I don't know. It's just... Also, the drums. We haven't really mentioned the drums yet.
Oh, yeah. I have that exact note. The rhythm is really metal on that song. And Alex is just crushing those drums.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I... Like, the bass kind of tucked behind the guitar solo.
Yes. Hell yeah. Michael Anthony... So, a lot of simple bass lines from Michael Anthony, but they are super effective. He and Alex Van Halen are keeping this thing together so Eddie can go crazy and do what Eddie does, and David Lee Roth can dance around on the stage. Those two hold it down really well.
Yeah, man. I think it's a perfect way to sum it up. It's my song of the week, I think.
I love it. I didn't pick a song of the week. Just getting that out of the way, but I think I know what it probably would. Honestly, it would probably be Running with the Devil, the lead-off track from the first album. Let's see, anything on I'm the One then, track 4 or 5, excuse me.
That didn't really do it for me.
I liked it. It comes scorching in, almost like a swing vibe to it at times. There is a Four Non Blondes cover of that song.
Ooh.
What'd you think about the little barbershop harmony at the end? The little shooby-dooby-dooby, dooby-doo-wah.
It was very Queen-esque.
They nailed it.
Dude, yeah, I'm a sucker for some barbershop quartet. There used to be one who used to always come to my grandma's every Christmas. So I always feel good when I hear a barbershop quartet.
All right, B-side. Jamie's Crying kicks it off. The intro to that song is so great to me. That's one of my favorite Van Halen intros. And Michael Anthony's bass is just perfect. early Van Halen is heavier, much heavier than later Van Halen. Even on a song like this, where David Lee Roth is kind of clowning around and stuff, it's still heavy. Like, like, it's, the bass line is, like, heavy. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's cool. How about Atomic Punk, then? Track 7. Like, that's a new wave of British heavy metal, almost. Like,
yeah, I was trying to figure out a way to describe it. It absolutely 100% has that elements, but it also, have you ever listened to U2's Europa?
Mm-hmm.
To me, it was like new wave of British heavy metal with U2's Europa vibes. And I honestly really like this one.
It's a ripper. It's got like sci-fi lyrics. I'm a victim of the science age, a child of the storm. Whoa, yes. I can't remember when I was your age. For me, it says no more, no more. Like,
dude, yeah. I was just like, where were these lyrics later? Nobody roams
these streets at night but me. The Atomic like, Punk.
It was like Neil Peart almost.
It was, totally. Yes, absolutely. It's got that. And because of that, I maybe thought, well, this is proggy, but it really wasn't proggy, but it definitely had the sci-fi element to it.
Cool,
man. Next song, I'm sure, was a crowd pleaser when they were playing bars. Feel Your Love Tonight. I can't wait to feel your love tonight. I like it. I gotta say, I still liked it, dude. I feel like that's a crowd pleaser. It pleased me. Like, good harmonies. Again, I gotta say, like, Michael Anthony and Eddie Van Halen's harmonies make some of the David Lee Roth goofy shit bearable to me. Like, their harmonies bring a little extra element so I don't have to get all the Dave hooting and hollering in my ear all the time. Like, I like it.
Yeah. This one, I don't have much on it. The only note I have is one of those songs where you want to chop wood to. And I think it's because the cadence, I could hear like pop, pop, like, an axe hitting wood. Yeah, there's just something to it.
It's one of those, like, it. I mean, there's, I'll say this for this first Van Halen album. When did I say this one came out? Like 1970. Yeah. There's stuff on here that you hear later on from other bands in the 80s. Like there's Guns N' Roses rhythm to this. There's like, you kind of give them some credit for kind of laying the foundation for what metal was going to be in the 80s.
So speaking of that, I'm going to skip ahead to the last one because you mentioned it.
No, Ice Cream Man? You don't want to talk Ice Cream Man? All right.
So On Fire, which I loved. Again, yeah, it's got that new wave British heavy metal sound. It's got some muscle. But you mentioned the influence. Dude, those vocals were straight up Sabotage-esque.
He was killing it. Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Like, there's a wail in there that's like, I think he goes, of fire, hell. I don't remember. On fire, excuse me. Like, he screams it. And it's a winner to go out on. On Fire was great, dude. It's chuggy metal, like, certainly a precursor to like speed metal, in my opinion.
Yeah. I thought it was a brilliant tune. Very close contender for Song of the Week.
Yeah, same. That was a winner to go out on, no doubt. And then, of course, I'm only mentioning it because people probably know it. The song before that is Ice Cream Man, which is a blues tune from way back. And honestly, I think it's kind of fun. It's a Dave does this goofy Dave thing, but it works really well for that song. And I enjoyed it. I like Ice Cream Man. I liked it a lot more than I have liked it previously. So,
well, that's good. Yeah, that one skated right past me. I could see Diamond Dave roller skating, waving past me as it went by.
So, on the whole, what do you think of the debut?
Man, I enjoyed it a lot. I don't know if I'd say I loved it. I thought it was great. And, like, you hear some of this later in their albums, but I feel like they dropped a lot of this sound, which is really unfortunate to me, as time progressed. And I think this is the gold standard of their albums. I mean, it's freaking Diamond, so not that album sales really mean much, but there's a reason for this one. I think
it's definitely on par with my favorite one from this week. I don't know if I would declare it the outright victor, but it's definitely up there with the other one. All right, let's move on to the second one, which is fittingly titled Van Halen 2, It is the second studio album by Van Halen. Came out March 23rd, 1979. It's as of 2004, which why is that the last information I have? Anyway, it's at least five times platinum. So another big one.
Yeah, I think all of these were pretty big. Even the one that was absolute garbage was pretty big.
But this is another one that has a lot of prior material on it. So stuff that they'd kind of been kicking around for a while.
Okay.
So, you know, there's some things that are from demos that they did when they were trying to get signed. So that's cool. And it makes sense because it came out, what, a year later after their debut. So
yeah,
I'm sure they already had some of this put together.
Yeah, for sure. And I do wonder, like, what they were working on at the same time. And because honestly, if you plunk any of these songs onto that previous album, it's just like a fish out of water. I feel like there are a lot of different sounds going on here.
Interesting. And I wonder if that's what they decided to do for their... our debut album's going to have these songs, and then our... I don't know, but...
Yeah.
Like, they put the debut out, went on world tour, and then a week after they got back from the world tour, they started recording the second album, so...
Jeez.
Kind of a whirlwind. Did you happen to look this one up, the cover of it, or anything?
I didn't.
No, this one's just got their logo on the front. But on the back, there's David Lee Roth doing the splits, jumping way high in the air.
Of course, yeah.
Michael Anthony's looking real ridiculous playing the bass. Alex Van Halen's got fire coming off of his drumsticks. And Eddie is shredding a black and yellow guitar, which was known as Bumblebee.
Okay.
And it is buried with Pantera guitarist Dimebag Darrell.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
I wonder if Eddie gave it to him or...
So Dime always said it was his favorite guitar, and Eddie did give it to him. He's like, here you go. We're going to put this on. I don't think he even gave it to him before he was deceased. He just buried it with him. So
there's also, I swear, there's a striper. Someone played a guitar that looked like that.
It had to have been. Like, people had to have been, like, taking their guitars and Eddie Van Halening them out at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's a legend, so you're going to try to recreate what he's doing. Oh, and apparently David Lee Roth broke his heel doing the splits jump thing. So, that'll teach you, Dave. Stay on the ground. All right, so Van Halen 2. What do you think on the A side of Van Halen 2 here?
Didn't like the opener at all. Dance the Night Away, though, man. I'll tell you, that son of a gun hooks me in.
Nice. Okay, good. I mean, I like the opener, You're No Good, because they let Michael Anthony get a little wacky on the bass to kick it off.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a bigger, heavier ZZ Top to me. But Dance the Night Away, I'm with you, dude. Like, this is one of the new ones. So most of the songs on the album existed prior, like demos and stuff. Dance the Night Away was a new one that they created specifically for this album. And honestly, I love it. Like... Again, great harmonies. The harmonies that make it for me.
I thought those were great. And also the percussion work. Again, like, I mean, The percussion smokes throughout all these albums, even on the songs that are pretty bad. Like, they put in the work. I'll give them that. It's just a fun time of a song. Like, it's kind of chill. Like, it's a complete antithesis of a lot of songs on the other album, but still some big moments to it.
Yeah, give it up for Alex, because he's really crushing on those drums. Little keys, bring in a little keys in there too. Like, I don't know, man. I gotta say, I know he's a goofy son of a bitch, but I like David Lee Roth. I really do. I like David Lee Roth era Van Halen more than Sammy Hagar for sure.
I'm almost curious to go back and listen to 5150 again, and maybe like one or two albums after, just to see that storyline unfold. I was hoping a Van Hagar would sneak in here this week, but alas.
What'd you think of Somebody Get Me a Doctor, then, the third song?
So I didn't know if this was a good song or not, but I'll tell you what, I am always a sucker for a 1-2-3-4 count before a song starts.
Mm-hmm.
1-2-3-4. Buckle up. Let's go.
I think it was good, man. It was heavier, so it makes sense to me because it's more like what's on their first album. And I don't know, dude, it's pretty heavy. Like, it's almost got some... Black Sabbath, like Deep Purple-y sound to it, but song about doing drugs and ODing, and it's not necessarily what you want, but
yeah,
that's pretty sick song, man. It's got a little chugging riff to it. Solid.
Feel good hit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about these next couple?
I don't know. I don't have much notes on them. Again, I think Bottoms Up was another kind of ZZ Top-y guitar.
Dude, that's exactly what I said. Yes.
Yeah. A very Billy Gibbons riff in that song. And again, Michael Anthony hit me with the harmonies, dude. I'm loving it.
Tasty.
I was down for Bottoms Up. Out of Love Again, another kind of hard rock. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, I like the guitar solo on that one, but that was really it.
Yeah, I thought it was proto Red Hot Chili Peppers because it has that like funky hard rock mix.
Yeah, like maybe a little Thin Lizzy kind of. There's some Thin Lizzy elements when, I don't know, maybe I can see that little funk to it. But all right, B-side. I didn't have much. Really not much at all. They were all okay. Spanish Fly was cool. It was like an acoustic eruption, which was kind of neat. Track 10, though. The last one on here, Beautiful Girls. I do enjoy that song, and it's been stuck in my head all morning. My wife is super pissed off at me because I keep singing it. On top of the world, oh yeah. Here I am, ain't no man of the world, no. All dude. I need, it's so good. Like, it hooks you, dude.
It's so dumb, but it's so fun at the same time.
It's a great little rocker. It's got a cool heavy solo on it. Like, I don't know. I keep saying it. I think Michael Anthony's Van Halen's secret weapon. I'm going to stand by it. Like, his backup vocals on this thing.
He really play, is. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even know his name until like 4 days ago now, or 5 days ago, 6 days ago, whatever
he's
it was. But
he's an interesting dude, man. He's married to his high school sweetheart. The whole time he's in Van Halen, which is, I think, kind of, probably kind of rare for a rocker-type person. I mean, we'll talk about him a little bit later, but what did you think of Van Halen 2?
I'm glad it was short. Some things definitely ran together, especially on the B-side, with the exception of, like, Spanish Fly. I feel like they kind of lost a little of that first album, Mojo. It's not bad, per se. Like, there's a lot of great talent and technique there. It just wasn't hitting with me.
I like the A-side a lot. Like you said, the B-side does kind of run together a little bit. I still think it was a fun listen. I was glad it was 31 minutes long, but I'm always glad when they're shorter. I don't know. I think the A-side was great. B-side just okay.
Mm-hmm.
On the whole, pretty solid. So I skip one in my collection here. I did not have their third album. I can't even tell you right now off the top of my head what the single is off of their third album.
Yeah.
Oh, and The Cradle Will Rock. Okay. Oh, everybody wants some.
Yep. Okay. Oh, interesting. Okay. So a couple songs.
And The Cradle Will Rock.
Talk about an 80s metal song. That one.
That's a good tune. Yeah. Hell yeah. And then the second one is Everybody Wants Some.
Like the ultimate movie soundtrack.
I want some too. Yeah. Let's move on to an album that really doesn't have a lot of singles on it. Okay. Maybe it's got a couple. But so their fourth studio album is called Fair Warning. This one came out in April 1981 on Warner Brothers. It's their slowest selling album of the David Lee Roth era, so they didn't sell a whole bunch of copies. Still, you know, a couple million copies, but
oh, poor guys.
Yeah. But not so much as the other ones. So what'd you think of Fair Warning? Because this is I'll tell you this is the other one that's up there with my favorite of the Van Halen albums.
You know, I thought it was decent, and maybe it's because so many songs were unfamiliar, and maybe it gave him a chance to work or try out some stuff a little differently. I love the album art, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's cool. It's from a painting called The Maze by a Canadian artist named William Kurelek, which kind of depicts his childhood, getting his ass kicked and yeah,
not the most fun, but it's good art.
It's cool. Yeah, it's a good album.
Almost like renaissance-y.
Yeah, I have it in. I think I've mentioned them before. I've got a couple of these sleeves that are supposed to be like almost perfectly clear, so it shows the album art really, really nicely. I want to get more of those. I think there's probably a place online I could buy a whole shitload of them all at once, but
like the plastic sleeves?
Yeah, the problem with it is the ones I'm talking about have like an adhesive kind of on the, like there's like a flap that folds over to enclose it. And that's got adhesive on it. And if you accidentally touch your album to it, it'll take the cover off. So got to be careful. But they look nice.
Most of mine have just like the normal plastic. You can, yeah. I think you can buy a box like that online. It's like $10 for 100. It's a pretty good deal.
Nice. I'll probably redo them all. Well, I don't want to. They already have sleeves. I'll probably count how many I need. It'd be cool to have it uniform, but I don't want to throw plastic away, so I might as well just use what I got.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I need to get a little sidetracked.
Yeah, more plastic in the world is always.
Yeah.
What you want? The first track, though, is one of my favorites on here. I think it's probably one of the more underrated Van Halen songs, Mean Street. I love that song. I don't know why, but I love it. Like, it's got this great little riff. I don't know, dude. I love that song.
I'll tell you why you like it. It's got that waka waka.
It does. Yeah. It's great. And he slays that one. And
I bet Tom Morello loved this song.
I bet so, too. That's a big old pounding metal track. Like, it's sick. It's about growing up on the mean streets, too. Like, I can't keep saying it, but Michael Anthony, dude. He's the man.
That's literally my one of my two notes on the next song, Dirty Movies.
Yes, it's great. It's, yeah.
Dude, a little new wavy, but shout out to that bass line.
Mm-hmm, great bass line. That's my first note, actually. Great bass line on that thing. And it's still a hell of a lot heavier than a lot of their more popular stuff. Like, that's maybe the reason I like Fair Warning, because there's some stuff on here that's not out there in the world. You don't hear it. And it's a little heavier maybe than the singles. And that's what draws me in. And that's actually why I like their first album too, because it's just a little heavier.
Yeah, yeah.
Center Swing. Another heavy one. Like, I like Center Swing a lot.
Yeah, really good double time on the drums.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of pop punky.
Yes. And now we're wasting time. Like, that is almost a pop punky line. Yeah. And then I love that get out and push. Like, hell yeah. Like, I really enjoy this era of Van Halen. Like, I don't know what it is about this style of music, or I don't even know how to explain it, man. It just gives me the good brain chemicals. That's all I'm gonna say. Like, something about it.
Yeah, for sure. It's them trying out different things, and, you know, some stuff landing, some stuff not, but at least taking a chance trying to regain some of that earlier groove.
Mm-hmm. It's like, honestly, the next track's pretty similar. Like, Hear About It Later, it's another one that's just like great solo. They got a formula where they just let the bass and the drums just kind of set the tone, and then Eddie just tears it up. It's cool. I mean, it's more of a ballad, but the solo's really cool.
I can't believe you used the word formula on this, because my note is kind of light and spacey before the big howl, and then the formula sets in.
Yeah, I mean, like, they do have the formula, but a lot of times the formula is there for, like, because it works. Yes, so see, Unchained kicks off side B. I like Unchained a lot, so I'll let you talk about Unchained. I'll probably rant.
No, there's just a lot of song structures and ideas coming through in this.
Yeah, and Eddie's got that flanger, like the kind of, I don't know how to explain it, like almost an echo tone, but not quite on his guitar. And apparently this song like really boosted the sales of flangers just in general. Like, people were buying them because they wanted to sound like Eddie Van Halen, which is cool. I tried to build a clone of Eddie Van Halen's flanger pedal one time. I fucked it all up, but I tried to build it. It's a pain in the ass. I could fix it for like 3 cents. I burned up one little part, and I could fix it for three. But I've never ordered the part because it takes like $8 to ship it to me, and I don't want to pay that.
I mean, to me, it doesn't sound that bad, but I get it's the principle thing.
I know. I'm mostly mad that I messed it up. Like, I was soldering something, and I burned up a little piece of it. Ooh. And
can I just say, I love, not saying this is you, but like the gearheads who think it's the equipment and not the practice. Like, I say this as someone who used to play golf a lot, and just like knowing people who are always swapping clubs.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this one will help with my draw. And I'm like, yeah, not pulling your hips and lifting your head will also help. But with your slice, like,
you don't need guitar pedals to be a good guitarist, but sometimes they're fun. Like,
totally. I get it. I mess around with them. Yeah, it's, I imagine Flanger loved it.
Yeah, I think it's what's the con- it's not Electro-Harmonix. Who MXR makes Eddie Van Halen's flanger, I believe. The actual ones are painted just like his guitar, with the he's got a signature model flanger or phaser that's got like the red and white and black stripes on it.
Oh, nice. Of course.
Cool, cool. All right, anyway. Unchained is good. Push Comes to Shove is really funky. Did you have anything to say about that one?
I don't remember how it sounds, and my only note is, what is this? Seriously, what is this?
It's funk. Like, it was funky. It's totally unlike anything we'd heard. Let's see, anything else? In track 7, So This Is Love, more good bass and more good harmonies.
Yeah, and you can't help but get sucked in by the claps. Like, it's a fun tune. It didn't offer too much more. And I think this is the song where you're like, okay, I hear the Van Halen that's about to come.
Oh, it, yeah, for sure. It's fun, no doubt about it. There's okay, so fair warning, like I said, one of my favorites. But there are some things on here that are like precursors to the next two albums that are not bad, but they have stuff on them that I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
A lot more synth. Eddie started getting into playing the synth, which it is what it is. So, like, for example, the next track, actually, Sunday Afternoon in the Park, which is an instrumental with Eddie on the synth. And it is really bizarre, really electronic, and pretty heavy. Like, it's a cool track.
Yeah, it was so weird. I thought it was so interesting, and I could have used a lot more of that.
Yeah, like, Alex Van Halen is playing, you know, Zeppelin-esque drums, just pounding away back there with just, like, the weird synth sounds over top of it. I mean, really cool, but definitely a precursor to what's coming.
And then the last track, speaking of synth.
One Foot Out the Door. Did you like that one or no?
I did, man.
Nice.
What did you think of it?
It's cool. I like the way they brought it in because they took the bass line from Sunday Afternoon in the Park, the one before, and just like rolled it right into this song. It was cool little ripper on the way out for sure.
Cool mix of synth. Really weirdo prog metal techniques. And it's kind of gonzo. But I liked it. It was a very, very close song of the week pick too.
Really solid way to end, fair warning. And honestly, like I said, this is up there with their debut. It's my favorite Van Halen album. I mean, A-side is incredibly solid. The B-side's pretty good too. It's just a lot heavier. Like, the stuff that you don't hear on the radio is heavier. And that's what draws me into this one. I just really like
it. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's jump to definitely my least favorite of the week. This is their fifth, so this one's right after Fair Warning. We've got Diver Down. This one came out April 14, 1982, still on Warner Brothers. Yeah, I mean, this is another one that sold a whole bunch. 5 of the 12 songs are covers. I don't know really much else to say about it. It's definitely not my favorite of the Van Halen albums.
Yeah, I have seen this in record stores so many times, and I've always thought, man, this thing must really suck if it's so common to find. And I felt validated. There was one song that I really, really liked, but for the most part, yeah.
I don't hate it as much, but I'm with you. I mean, it's definitely a low point on for the week, for sure. I mean, kicks off with a Kinks cover, Where Have All the Good Times Gone? I'm sure you didn't like that one. I like it, but I know you're a Kinks fan, so maybe don't like somebody taking it and modifying it. I get it.
Yeah, it, I don't know, the original is just so good, and it did make me think of my buddy's band, Amigo, though. They have a song called Where Have All the Bad Times Gone. It's really good.
Nice little plug in there, I like it.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Shout out.
What was the name of that band again?
Amigo. Okay, A-M-I-G-O, cool. From Charlotte, North Carolina.
Good. Excellent.
But I'll tell you what, man, that next track...
That's what I was going to ask. Is the next one the one that you liked?
Oh, yeah, dude. And you can probably predict why, but...
Why?
I mean, it's just... It's such a throwback to that earlier heavy metal influence.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the shredding and breakneck drums, like... That one cooked.
It does, dude. It's a screamer. Like, it, again, has, like, another little bit of speed metal element to it. But the rhythm section is absolutely flying. Eddie obviously slays, but man, that's a cool song for sure. Hang 'em High. That's a metal name.
Dude, yeah. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I was like, man, if there were ever a 1980s metal song name, it's Hang 'em High.
Yeah, that's really good. Have you ever seen the movie Hang 'em High, by the way? The film?
No. Is that Clint Eastwood?
It's Clint Eastwood. I know you're not a big Clint Eastwood fan, but it's a decent Western. Like, he's helping round up some cattle or something, and a local mob thinks that he's actually the cattle rustler, and they hang him from a tree and then leave, and somehow he gets away. And then it's like a revenge tour. He goes after all the posse that hung him and catches them all.
Man, I love a good Western.
The skipper from Gilligan's Island plays a bad guy.
Okay. Yeah, I have to see if that's streaming, because I am a sucker for a solid Western.
You don't get a lot of the skipper playing a bad guy. What is his name? But anyway, he's a bad guy.
I'm just trying to picture him, and all I can picture him is that like cockeyed hat and a bright blue shirt, like kidnapping somebody and stealing their cattle.
I got to tell you, man, they didn't really change his wardrobe too much for this. still has like real bright white hair. Alan Hale Jr. Thank you. I was trying to come up with his name. Yeah, man, he still definitely looks like the skipper.
Oh man, that's great.
Solid movie. Anyway,
dude, speaking of the song title, I'm glad you also mentioned the 80s metal name, because like the first minute of this song, I was just thinking of Aces High.
Iron Maiden,
and it kept popping into my head, and I was like, I've got to listen to that before I can continue, because I can't focus on Van Halen right now.
Aces High is so good. I love how they took their love of, like, because Bruce Dickinson is a pilot, right? So like he's got history and he's got aircraft, and then he's like, let's make a song.
Yeah, let's combine the two.
Yeah. All right, so let's keep moving. I just sent you a picture of Alan Hale Jr. and his Hang 'em High wardrobe. But anyway, because I wanted you to see it.
Oh my God.
Doesn't it look like the skipper's about ready to cap somebody?
It's so lazy.
I love it.
Skipper ain't having any of it. He's cracked after being on the island for too long.
He's got a six shooter out about ready to put some hot lead in somebody. Anyway, let's keep rolling along here.
I love how he's holding the gun with like that little like limp tilt.
Yeah, a little bit. It's a little cockeyed. It's just like, hey, I'll put six in you if you're not careful.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep on rolling here. Anything on the next couple? I really disliked Secrets. Cathedral was cool, the instrumental, but yeah. Secrets was not so great.
Yeah, Secrets sucked. Cathedral. Cathedral had a little Emerson, Lake, and Palmer feel to it. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it was kind of a classical sounding tune for sure. Mm-hmm. And Secrets was just like, this is the first time I was like, oh man, Van Halen goes 80s. Like, it had all the bad 80s elements that I don't like mixed into it. I don't even know how to explain that. I was just like, man.
It felt like if somebody was like, I'm going to write an 80s song and just put every generic thing they put together for it. Yeah,
the next one's an instrumental, so two instrumentals here on the A side. Intruder, which is kind of badass. I actually really like Intruder.
That's another good metal song name.
Yeah, it is. Just like a little sci-fi tune, like a spaceship landing in the middle of a city ominously is what I think of when I think of Intruder, which is hilarious because it kicked to a Roy Orbison cover of a cover of Roy Orbison, Pretty Woman.
This is where the wheels fell off for me.
Not a fan of this one, huh?
I like the novelty of one song coming up, but the rest of these, I just could not. Yeah, they lost me.
It's hard because the Roy Orbison original is absolutely better. Mm-hmm. So, and maybe that's where you are with the Kinks covers too. I mean, if you like the original more, you're probably not going to like this one as much. I think it's fun. I mean, it's a fun tune. I don't know if they do a great, perfect job with it, but I think they do all right. And it's fun, but it's just a pumped up version of Pretty Woman, basically.
Yeah.
So which one of these other ones did you like then? Not Dancing in the Street?
Not Dancing in the Street, not the little guitar stuff. Big Bad Bill, I just thought it was hilarious that they covered a song from the 1920s and kind of stuck to that 1920s motif.
I have a great note on that one. So give me just 1 second to talk about little guitars really quick. Okay. So Dancing in the Street kicks off the B-side. It is what it is. It's not really. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, Little Guitars. I thought Little Guitars was kind of cool. And the reason I thought it was cool is it's a big soaring tune. But apparently he actually is playing a little tiny guitar. Like a luthier in Nashville named, oh man, I can't pronounce his name, David Petschulat kind of met up with Eddie one time and was like, here, check out this tiny Les Paul that I built. And Eddie used it to play this song, and apparently it was the inspiration to this song. It's a, I sent you a picture of it when we were talking about this. It is tiny.
It's hilariously gimmicky, and mm-hmm. you can't help but love it.
Yeah, I liked it. As soon as I found out that he actually played that thing on this song called Little Guitars, I was in. It was cool. All right, so back to Big Bad Sweet. Big Bad Bill is Sweet William now. a song from the 20s. And they, like you said, were pretty close to the original. Like, they kept the vibe. My note, though, I'm sure you noted the clarinet on this song.
Mm-hmm.
That is being played by Alex and Eddie Van Halen's dad, Jan.
Okay.
Dude is in his 60s at the time, been a musician his whole life, and his big musical break here is playing clarinet on his rock star son's album. That's badass.
Finally getting the chance, finally getting that big break, and he is in the zone. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. They're just like, hey, let's go. let's see. The Full Bugs, track 11. I have no notes on that one. Do you got any notes on Happy Trails?
It's just so absurd.
It is a barbershop quartet version, basically, of Happy Trails, which Happy Trails holds a special place in my heart. When Kansas State University is at a point in a football game where they have an insurmountable lead in the fourth quarter, the band will always play Happy Trails at home, and the crowd sings along, and it's very fun.
Oh, I love it. Who sang the original? Who was that? Why can't I remember it? Roy Rogers.
Okay.
Yeah, that's sense. Who it was. And I only remembered that because I don't know if they were ever out west, but pretty much on a bunch of turnpikes out east, there were Roy Rogers restaurants. And I mm-hmm. never knew if it was connected to the country singer or not.
I believe there's a Roy Rogers turnpike in Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, nice. I was going to ask if he was from Kansas or...
I think he's an Okie, but I'm not positive on that.
He's from Ohio. Fraud.
Oh, my goodness. Get out of here.
Dang, grew up, kind of bounced around.
Ohio? Yeah,
Ohio, California. And Eastern Ohio. Son of a gun.
Well, there you go.
I feel bamboozled.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can be a cowboy from Ohio. That's doable. So what'd you think of Diver Down? I know neither of us really totally enjoyed it.
Yeah, I said no thanks.
There were parts, but I'm still glad I own it. I paid $6 for it. It's not like I broke the bank on it. $6. It's cool. The album cover is the flag that you put up on a boat when you've got scuba divers down below. So that's cool.
Yeah, I'm just picturing you coming home with like a $45 copy of this. It's a mint pressing.
Nah. No, I wouldn't do that. All right, so let's go to the last one for the week here. We have got 1984. This is Van Halen's sixth studio album. This one came out January 9th, 1984. Just got it in there at the beginning of the year. Appropriately named.
Just couldn't wait.
Yep. So this is the last one with David Lee Roth. All right, so what did you think of 1984?
I got what they're trying to do. It's a little too commercial for me.
It's definitely different, and it's been coming. Like, you could see this coming for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Tons more synth, especially track two, Jump. Like, the synthiest song of all time.
That always reminds me of the Filipino cover band in Vietnam that I've mentioned before. My boss would tip them to play this song. He loves Jump.
I'm a fan of Jump too, man. I gotta say, like,
it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, do you know how, like, the apparent story is? David Lee Roth was watching news coverage of somebody that was like a suicide jumper but hadn't jumped yet, and he got to thinking, like, at some point somebody in the crowd will probably yell, "Go ahead and jump," and that's where he came up with the. Yeah, and the record execs were like, that's too dark. Can you come up with something else? So they turned it into, like, jumping. You might as well do something positive. Like, mm-hmm. if you're at a crossroads in your life, you might as well jump in and do something positive. So I like that spin on it, I guess. It's more of a glam rocker than a lot of their previous stuff. Next track, though, Panama, I'm a fan. That one's
it, yeah.
Song about a fast car with a pretty pounding, charging beat. Like, I like Panama.
Yeah, I will say, I think this is one of the better songs on the album, and man, it's great to sing along to.
Yeah, and it's just that pounding beat the whole time. Like, it really, it's a hard driver, just like the car. Mm-hmm. I mean, cool track. I think the car's name was Panama, by the way. I think that's where they came up with it. Okay. So I'd like to visit Panama. You ever been to Panama? I'd like to visit Panama sometime.
I haven't. I have a former coworker who used to go once a year.
I think it'd be an interesting place to visit.
Oh, yeah.
A meeting of two continents. I don't know. Sure. Seems cool to me.
Yeah, especially just like that weird border where there's just like tons of commerce and shipping going on.
Yeah. There's a highway called the Trans-American Highway, something like that. It runs from a city up in on the Arctic Ocean in Alaska all the way down to Tierra del Fuego in southern Argentina.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And there's a gap. Oh, I mean, it's a series of highways, but there, you can drive the whole way, except for a little place in Panama called the Dorian Gap, where the rainforest is so thick they can't build a road through it. So you have to go around it.
Man, that is so freaking cool. It's one of those things where I'm like, I'm going to do that, even though I know I won't.
But... Oh, dude. One of my dreams is like buy a somewhat capable hybrid motorcycle and ride it from the top to the bottom. Just take 6 months and do it. That'd be cool.
Oh, man. No doubt. I just imagine all you would see. Dang.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
Oh, man. Got a little off. Dreaming.
Another Battle Beast moment this week. Okay. Anything on the next couple songs on the A side here? We got Top Jimmy and Drop Dead Legs. That's the A side. Oh,
nah, definitely not.
They're okay. I mean, Top Jimmy's got some cool guitar harmonics and kind of a southern rock sound to it, but it's all right. Drop Dead Legs, another big pounding rocker, but it's just all right. However, B side kicks off with Hot for Teacher. And to me, man. That's another one where it's like Alex Van Halen just going absolutely nutso. It's Dude, wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, I've never liked this song, but I can appreciate Alex Van Halen just going off the rails. I hear a lot of ZZ Top in this.
I can see that.
But yeah, it just doesn't all come together for me.
I've always
And
liked
I think it's
because
those like little spoken parts where it's like, well, why pull out my pencil?
Give me something to write on.
Oh God! Yeah.
I wonder what the teacher's gonna look like this year. Whoa, my God! Like I love Hot for Teacher, honestly, and a lot of it's because of that, like the double bass pedals going. Alex is like slaying. Like this is speed metal, dude. It really is. At least the rhythm is. The drums are. And Eddie slays a little bit. You definitely get the Diamond Dave shtick going in there a little bit, but sounds like they're having a fun time anyway. A little bit juvenile lyrics, but I don't think they're malicious in any way either. He's just goofy.
For sure.
Okay, so anything else? I mean, I'll Wait is one that I always forget exists. Like, I forget that it's out there, and then as soon as it starts playing, I'm like, oh, yes, of course, I know this song.
Do you know the fun fact about this song?
Unfortunately, I do. It was written in collaboration with our pal Michael McDonald.
When I read that, I was hoping so much that his vocals would make an appearance.
Thank God they didn't.
Michael McDonald on a Van Halen song. Oh my God.
Oh, wait. Get out of here.
Gonna bear so bad, I'm off a teacher. What if he showed up on that one?
I think it's really interesting. Pencil. Like, where do they hook up with him? How did they hook?
Of all the people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have much on what's left of you.
You don't like Girl Gone Bad? I thought that one was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's one of the better ones. It's bigger and heavier, but I don't have too much on it.
Yeah, kind of like a little galloping metal beat, but with some pop elements to it. I don't know. I like that one too. And that's really it.
I thought it was interesting that there's a song called House of Pain on here, and there's a song called Jump. And House of Pain had a song called Jump Around.
Ooh. What'd you think of 1984?
I thought it was middling. It just didn't do much for me.
I can see the commercial element of it turning somebody off. I like it. I think it's certainly better than Diver Down. No doubt about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they really pulled out that nosedive.
And this is one of the ones, I know I've mentioned it, that I've got signed by the artist who did the cover, which it's a pretty famous cover. It's a little kid with kind of angel wings smoking a cigarette, which is a weird thing.
Whatever happened to that kid, yeah.
I talked to her about it. So she, it was one of her friend's kids who was actually eating, like, I think candy cigarettes. And she took a picture of him, liked it, and then did this painting.
Oh, okay.
Margot Zaharas. I know I've mentioned Margot before. She signed this for me in 2019, so pretty cool.
Yeah, nice. Okay. Yeah,
my version's in really good shape, too. It looks almost pristine, so I'm kind of, yeah, kind of pumped about that.
Yeah.
All right. Final thoughts on this album and Van Halen as a whole this week?
I think Diminishing Returns, but I think musically it was a lot better than I expected. It didn't always click for me. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I
would. I know I got six of these things, Van Halen albums, that is. And which it's just interesting that I own so many of them, because I do love certain elements, especially in the first three albums are fantastic. In 1984, I feel like that's something, if you're even a moderate Van Halen fan, you got to own it. But I'm kind of there with you. I mean, there were parts of this this week that I was just like, okay, another Van Halen song. Let's mix it up, boys. On the whole, though, I mean, really solid. Like I said, the early stuff, I really tested the limits of what my speakers could do. So I'm always up for that. Yeah. All right. You got a didn't see that coming question for me this week. Or do you want me to go first? Because I'm locked and ready to go, too.
Yeah, you can go.
Okay. So our pal Michael Anthony, that I mentioned several times during the episode today, is Van Halen's bass player. He is kind of a partier, known to get out there and get a little wild, have a few drinks. So much so, in fact, that he actually has a signature bass guitar that is shaped like a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's pretty cool looking, I guess, if you're into Jack Daniels. I didn't research it enough to tell you, but I'm almost thinking his maybe even has, like, something to do with Jack Daniel's barrels in like the wood, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So my question for you is this. You are tasked with building a four-piece, like Van Halen, full of instruments that are made to look like some of your favorite items. So what does your drum kit look like? What does your bass guitar look like? What's your lead guitar look like? And what's your microphone stand look like?
So microphone stand, I'm going with Pilot G2 ink pens.
Okay.
Man.
All right.
I love those things.
Best pens out there. I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only problem is they smudge a little bit occasionally if you're not
they
careful.
Do. Yeah, yeah. You gotta be cautious. Can't smush too hard on them.
Not a good pen for lefties.
Drums, I would want to look like potato bread buns.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I love me a good potato bread and a potato bread bun. Whew, I can just eat those babies plain. Bass. Dang, what would the bass look like? So I'll come back to bass, because I think guitar, I would do something that looks like a record player, or at least the plate, like the actual...
The body?
What is it called? Why can't I think of the word? Like the platter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So like the head, like circular, like the platter, and the guitar pick or the wah-wah is clearly like the needle.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure.
Yeah. So, and then the bass. Dang. I'm trying to think of like how to incorporate maybe like a camera lens. Ooh, I'd say it would be cool if it was like a camera lens and you could like hit a button every now and then to take a picture of the crowd.
That'd be cool as hell.
Yeah. That's what I've got. How about you?
I did think about this one a little bit. All right. So my drum kit would look like a fast food meal. Like the bass drum would look like a burger, and maybe some of the other stuff looks like a cola or some fries or something. So that's what I've got for my drum. Because I think that'd be funny more than eat fast food. I just think it'd be a funny thing to pick.
Like a little Happy Meal looking.
Yeah.
Happy Meal toy looking, yeah.
Right, exactly. I think I would want my bass to look like a canoe paddle. It's like a big canoe paddle. Let's see, microphone stand is a tough one. Let's go
this has nothing to do with this. I guess I was tasked with picking things that applied to me, so I have to think of something here. I would like. That is tough, dude. I can't. I tasked you with an impossible question. I don't know. I would want the actual microphone itself to look like a bird. Like I'm holding a bird.
Okay.
Like screaming into its head as as I'm singing. And then my guitar can look like, I think I'd like one of those guitars that like does not have a body. If you maybe seen those, they just look like a stick.
Yeah.
But then it does have a body that's made of like chains that are like fused together so they don't rattle around, to look like a disc golf basket is what I would want. So that's my guitar.
That's very fitting.
My disc golf basket guitar.
Yeah. At first for the mic stand, I thought you were going to say hiking stick.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah, that would be good. Man. I still think the canoe paddle base is probably the best.
Oh, man. And it's so, yeah, honestly, that sounds like something that, like, presidents of the United States of America would do. Just, like, pull out a canoe-shaped base.
I think you absolutely could do it, too. I think a pretty skilled luthier could build you an electric base out of a canoe paddle.
Oh, man. Now I'm going to be get the neck going right down the rabbit hole. Because aren't there some YouTube videos of people who turn things into instruments?
Oh, dude, yes. There's this guy. Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm hooked. So there's this one guy. He got a bunch of colored pencils and taped them all together and then sanded them down so they were in the shape of a guitar body. So, like, you could see, like, the wood and then the color inside. So, like, the rings are kind of putting out. And then he covered it in, I don't know what that stuff, like, not lacquer, but the clear... whatever that is, and then sanded it down. It's cool as hell. And there's all sorts of cool guitars he's been making.
That's awesome. Yeah, I want to check this dude out. I know what I'm doing with my rainy Saturday.
All right, brother.
So, Van Halen, Vans, thinking about buses, not talking about the Grateful Dead. It's funny that you mentioned excess in your question, because mine definitely deals with excess, because I was thinking about how the Van Halen bus, like, known for its excess. I'm wondering, like, what your tour bus would look like and have in it if you were to hit it big in a band.
The problem with it is going to be that I have to have other people there.
That's
That's my primary
issue. You could be a diva and just go solo.
So I guess what I'm saying is, my tour bus is going to do everything it can to give everyone a place that can kind of get away from people, if that's even possible. So that's one element I would have, like maybe a little section that is pretty well sealed off from everywhere else where you could just go and chill out. Maybe we're going to have a lot of video games, a couple different platforms probably, so we can all just hang out and play video games. be throwing down some Madden or some Halo or something on the tour bus.
Yeah.
What else? I would have said probably a couple years ago, I would want like a tap for a beer, like a beer keg. So I could put like a keg in there and have beers. But now I kind of want just like a root beer soda fountain or something in there.
Man.
That sounds pretty nice.
That's my dream. Like all kinds of different root pops on. Oh, man.
Yeah, fancy sodas is what I want.
Yeah, okay.
And on the outside, I want it to be painted to look absolutely ridiculous, like a dragon or something. I don't want...
Yeah.
Because sometimes you see those tour buses going down the highway, and it's just like they're all black, and all the windows are so dark. And you know there's like an artist in there, but you don't know who it is. I want minded people to see that and be like, oh.
Follow that bus.
Yeah. Here comes Diadem. And how about you? What's your tour bus looking like?
Man, I love what you said about the kind of the isolation area, kind of that quiet time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like some kind of pods where everyone can just kind of have their time and their alone time. I like that. The video games I'm with, I would prefer to have like Super Nintendo and Sega.
Okay.
Kind of that old school stuff.
Yeah. Play a little Street Fighter or something. I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I would probably like, what do I like on the road? Oh, I would definitely have like a kind of a junk food pullout cubby with tons of Funyuns. Love me some Funyuns. That's my road snack.
Funyuns?
Yeah, dude. I think I'm the only person I know who like loves them, but
I've had a Funyun hot off the presses before one time. I went to the Frito-Lay factory in Topeka, Kansas one time on a school field trip, and they let us eat a Funyun fresh off of the conveyor belt.
Oh, man. I can't imagine how good a fresh Funyun tastes.
Buddy, it was still warm. It was amazing. It was really good.
Should I be warming my Funyuns?
I'm telling you, I don't think I can ever eat another one and not think of that moment.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I love junk food. I love old video games like that. Yeah, that's probably where I would start. Oh, and I'll tell you what else. I would want to have like a little stock of film cameras and film so I can enjoy the road a little bit and capture it that way.
Do a little snaps. I like that. Capturing the moments. I've always wanted to do that. Like, I don't know, like a photo series of abandoned gas stations across the southern, southwest United States. It's interesting to me. I don't know why, but I've always thought that would be cool to have a bunch of pictures of just old crappy gas stations.
Dude, that's a fantastic idea. And Audrey in Utah and Colorado, respectively, we aren't that far from the southwest at this point.
Maybe that's the next evolution of this podcast. It's the gas station review podcast.
Man, this is completely unrelated to that, but I have always wanted to go around the U.S. and review mini golf courses.
Ooh, that sounds like a fun time.
Like how Golf Digest has their like 100 best golf courses. Like, God, just kicking around mini golf courses, man. All right. Are you ready to jump in and become a next level listener? Well, subscribe, give us a 5-star. Yeah, give us a 5-star rating, write a review, tell others about us. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at JandJoeyPod. We have the Buy Me a Coffee. You can find those things in Spotify playlists through the link tree in the show notes. And as always, be good to each other.